All right, this morning I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 35. Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 35.
Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 35 reads this way. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again asking you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you. Lord, that we would set aside the cares and the concerns of this life for a brief moment, Lord, that we might focus our hearts and minds on you, and Lord, that you would guide us to hear from you, and Lord, that you would guide us to be drawn closer to you, or Lord, to know you as Savior, if that be the need. But may you work and move amongst our hearts and minds this morning. May you be honored and glorified and highly exalted and lifted up. And again, Lord, our lives drawn closer to you. Give us your wisdom and your understanding, your peace, and your grace. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, Dost Thou Believe on the Son of God? Good question, isn't it? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? That is a matter of eternal life or eternal death. The Bible says we're already born condemned, right? We're already, our sin has separated us from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are separated from him at birth because of Adam and Eve. We inherited the sin nature, didn't we? And so Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but that he might, through his sacrifice, save us. Amen? And so he comes to offer us eternal life. It's a gift. He had to pay for it because you and I cannot be good enough to earn it. We can't. There's nothing we can give God that God would say, oh, okay, you have earned eternal life. In fact, if we do anything like that, what we're saying is, Jesus, the Son of God, the sacrifice that he offered wasn't enough for me. When God says that's all that we need, amen? If we by faith put our trust in him and believe that he has paid for all of our sins, the ones yesterday, today, and the ones even tomorrow, the grace of God enters in, the mercy of God enters in, redeems, forgives us, and redeems us. And by the way, there is repentance required. Lord, I'm the sinner. I am the guilty one. And right now, Lord, I trust you. What a wonderful gift. Amen. Now, naturally speaking, we don't always understand that, do we? I mean, if you ask people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and that don't go to church, I didn't go to church as a young person, I would have said, hey, listen, you know, God's going to weigh out your good and your bad. That's what I would have said. In fact, that's what I think I thought, right? I used to think this, I'm not that bad of a person. That's what I used to say. I've never killed anybody. Amen? I am not that bad of a person. Did you see my scale? I mean, you got to kill somebody to be bad, right? No, Jesus says all you have to do is be born and the amazing thing, little kids, we don't have to teach them to be selfish, do we? In fact, besides mommy and daddy, you know that one of the first words they learn? Mine, right? And you can see them. I mean, I have watched little kids fight over toys. Mine. And by the way, today, you know what you hear them say? When parents are addressing them? They say a two-letter word, no. They tell their parents, no. I didn't learn that one as a young one. I think I may have said it one time, but whatever happened must have got my attention that I never wanted to say it again. Amen? And so here's the whole thing. We are born lost and undone. God has come to give us eternal life. He's already paid for it. To adopt us. In fact, it's an unusual adoption because God says we're born into his family, right? We are adopted, so to speak, but then we have this, what the Bible says, being born again. There's a physical birth, and then there's a spiritual birth that God gives to us, and that's an experience that you never forget. Just like you know that you're here and you have eternal life, God wants to give us a spiritual life as well. So this morning, we're going to consider three thoughts, and that's going to be, first of all, the question by the disciples, Then secondly, we're going to notice the people's dispute. There was a dispute there. By the way, when we talk about spiritual things, I don't want to say religious things. We could talk about religious things, but spiritual things, because spiritual things have to do with God. We can get into religious things and never even touch on God. Right? There are all kinds of religions out there that don't even touch the triune God. Amen? And so we want to talk about spiritual things. And anytime you bring up spiritual things, many times there may be a dispute. In fact, listen, I had the privilege of being in the St. Louis area Friday. And I sat by this lady and I wanted to give her a tract, so I did. Oh, I don't need that. And she told me the church that she went to. And it didn't sound like it was one that knew the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was I think Saint something, I can't quite recall. But anyway, she said, listen, I really don't need that because I trust the Lord every day. We got to trust the Lord every day. Oh no, we just trust the Lord one time for eternal life. And so when people start saying we got to do this every day, what happens is we're not trusting in the Lord that he has done what he said he would do. Oh, wait a minute, I wake up tomorrow. Did he really mean that? Of course he did. The reason for that is what's missing is the born-again experience. When God brings a revelation of our forgiveness being genuinely done before the Lord and God's redemption work taking place, we are born again. And that is an experience, whether you remember the date or not, you surely should remember the event that God had forgiven us of our sins completely. Amen? And we have been adopted or born into the family of God that will never change. And we thank the Lord for that. But anyway, there was the dispute amongst the people. And then the last thought we'll look at is the Lord's declaration. So back up with me here to verse 1. And notice the question by the disciples here. Verse 1 says this, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." That's pretty serious. He's a man that was blind from his birth. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And that's the end of the question. See, in the mind of the disciples, by the way, they were following and learning about how the Lord works. Who did sin? That was it. That was the limit of their understanding, and God was outside of that. Who did sin? Was it this man, or was it his? In other words, Lord, who did sin, or maybe what was something else that may have caused that? And so, notice what he says here. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents," listen to this, "but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." That was God's purpose. Do you know what the world says today? Here's what the world says. Well, if there was a God, and there is, I mean, science says there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, life that just pops up. All life comes from pre-existing life. Right? It doesn't just pop up, have you ever walked around and all of a sudden just a horse just popped up there? No, there's a mother and a father, isn't there? Okay, and so the world says, if there was a God, he would not allow people to be born blind. Isn't that what they say? If there was a God, there would not be any sickness, there would not be this, there would not, and that, and what are they doing? They are imagining that God thinks the way that they do, and that God works the way they think. But the problem with that is God does not work the way that we think. Amen. And so we limit God, and we short sight ourselves on the truth of what God is doing. So fathom this thought. God says, Jesus said, I want you to know something. "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Wow. Now let me ask you this question. Think about this. God was going to use this man to glorify his name. Isn't that amazing? Would you want all the riches of the world and everything this world had to offer for about 100 years in the best of health and then die and have no eternal life? See, God is glorified by people coming to know him as their Savior. That is the most important thing, having a relationship, a living, vibrant relationship with God Almighty. And God had, listen, I don't understand it all. I will tell you this. God's not willing that any should perish. But here's what we do know. God knows the end from before it ever gets started. Before any of us were created, he already knew us. Before we were conceived, God knew you and I. He's God. By the way, it was God's idea to create us. We could just praise the Lord that we have an existence, can't we? But on top of that, we can also know him as our personal Savior. So God knew in eternity past that he could create this man blind to glorify him and that he would be saved. And not interfere with our freedom to make a choice. We are not robots. You and I are not made to love anybody. Would you like that kind of a relationship? You are just going to... No, and God's not that way. He says, listen, I want you to choose who you'll serve. I want you to make that choice. For whosoever will is open to anybody and everybody. And so as we consider this here, we find that the Lord told the disciples something contrary than what they thought. They thought they had it all figured out. And by the way, the disciples are in a great place because they're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and they're watching and they're learning. Now, don't forget this. As we get into our story, the disciples never left the Lord Jesus Christ. They are observing everything that is taking place. That's a good place to be. They are learning, right? I think I would have felt bad also if I would have said, well, Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I've already judged that man. Either he did it or his parents. That's it. That is the only answer. And God says, uh-uh. No. Neither of them. And I would say, what? I am wrong? Is it possible for us to be wrong? No, we're always right, aren't we? No. And God says, you missed it. And by the way, remember, these disciples were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, already watching him work, and they missed what God was doing. See, that's why God says that God resists the proud, but he receives the humble heart. He wants the humble heart that says, Lord, I need you, God. I don't know what to do. I need you to show me and lead me that I might honor you. Because if I'm not careful, the natural tendency is for me to do what I think and to work how I think I ought to go, instead of saying, Lord, I need you because I am one step away from stepping. And by the way, listen, the Bible talks about the flesh and the spirit in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and 8. It goes on a little bit further. But I want you to understand something. Sometimes people think, and it is true to a certain degree, that the flesh means, if you're walking in the flesh, that means that you're doing something bad. Well, it is bad in this sense. I mean, it could be bad. It could be something that's against the Lord. But the flesh is also the natural man. The flesh has to do with the natural thinking. The problem with that is the natural man does not receive the things that are of the Spirit. Did you get that? The natural man can't, it will not, receive what God is doing. So we can walk as a child of God in the natural man and completely miss the work of God. We can walk in the natural man and completely miss when God is blessing. And we can just go, what else you got? Because we're not in tune with what God is doing. And we're not realizing that God is moving and working to bring things to pass. The disciples did not know yet what was getting ready to take place. But they realized, first of all, we've made a mistake here. Let's listen to the master. Amen? Let's listen to the master. So notice what he says here. He says, again, in the bottom of verse 3, he says, but that the works of God, listen to this, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Now listen to what the Lord says right here. I, equating himself with the Lord, I must work the works of him that sent me. See, that the works of God might be made manifest, and then he says, I'm going to do this work. So I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. That is God incarnate. I am the light of the world. And then notice what he says here. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, you know, the Lord could have done anything and made him see. But see, the Lord has a purpose and a reason for doing things a specific way for a certain occasion. And we don't always know how the Lord works. But he has specific ways at certain times. If we're not careful, what we do is we say, Lord, you're late. This ought to be, where are you? What's the problem? What's going on? Listen, if we're in that place, question, are we in the spirit or in the natural realm? Is God ever late? Is God always on time? See, so we need to be careful and as disciples that we're following the Lord. And so notice what he does here in verse 7. He says, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Notice, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Listen, he obeyed. What in the world did the clay have to do? I don't know. But it was God's way. And then it was God's command. Amen? And you know what he knew? That he would go. And what happened because he went? He was blessed, wasn't he? Because he followed not his reasoning or his thinking, but what God's command was. And so he followed the Lord. And so he comes seeing. Now we move into our second thought, the people's dispute now. So we have a work of God taking place in the life of this blind man that God had prepared to work in eternity past. And now we have bystanders, right? Notice what happens here in verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Now listen, his facial features didn't change. He just has sight now. That's where the confusion was, see? See, this man, I am sure that these neighbors thought this man is going to be blind for the rest of his life. That's just usually the way it goes. And now God intervened and did something for the glory of the Lord. And by the way, for the benefit of this man. And by the way, also for the benefit of all these other bystanders as well. See, God doesn't mind this dispute or these questions. But we must remember that there's only one place we can get the answer. And that's not going to be on the internet. Believe it or not, the internet does not have all the answers. I know ChatGPT would like for you to think they do. And all these AI apps that they're coming out with. And one day, listen, one day, Christians might get so smart to say something like, we could do without a preacher. But you know what the problem with that is? Where's the Holy Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit is not in the computer. The Holy Spirit indwells believers. Amen. See, listen, I am sure ChatGPT, I have seen some of these works where people will ask these AI programs to draw a picture of Jesus walking on the water. Now, I don't think that's exactly what the Lord looked like, but I will tell you this, I was pretty impressed. I saw some amazing paintings that were computer generated. But if we're not careful, do you think AI knows what the Lord looked like? Do you think AI knows exactly how it took place? Well, if we're not careful, we'll begin to think, oh, wow, that's how it happened. That's why it's dangerous when we watch a reenactment of a biblical account. Because they don't get it right. Listen, we need to be careful. And there could be some good things, but we have to know what the biblical account is, or otherwise things will be taking place that will say, well, that's how it happened, and we'll miss the Lord. And it will skew our thinking. Is our mind important to the Lord on what we think about? And God says, I am the truth, the way, and the life, not a Hollywood producer. and to walk according to his way. So we need to be careful about this. So anyway, the neighbors see these people, and they're having this conversation. Isn't this the guy that was born blind and begged? Verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I'm he. Isn't that good? You know why? Listen, this man had no qualms with letting everybody know what happened in his life. See, listen, when the Lord touches us, he changes us. When the Lord is working, we begin to think like he thinks, and we begin to want to think like he thinks, and we begin to realize our loyalty is to him. I understand, but I don't understand. When people say, I used to go to church for X amount of years, I used to do this for the Lord, but I don't do it anymore. And then they'll begin to tell me why. Some person, some situation, some circumstance. You know what? None of those things died on the cross for my salvation. And by the way, I'm not being unkind. I pray for the grace of God to never quit serving the one who died for me. By the grace of God, that I will seek him before anything else. And so, they're saying, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him. That's good, right? They're going to the source now. How were thine eyes opened? Here's where the problem comes. See, it was all okay until you bring Jesus into the mix. See, people are all okay with religion until you say, Jesus is the only way. Then you got a problem. Are you trying to say that there is no other God? Yes, I am. And it's not because of confidence in me. It's because I've been saved. And God has changed. And by the way, listen, I know the Lord Jesus Christ now like I never knew him before. And anything else, I'm convinced, is a fake and a fraud and will lead to destruction. And so I do you a disservice to say, oh, you can believe whatever you want. There are people that are saying that. No, listen, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by who? Me. That's what he said. And listen, I promise you, in eternity, these people that said it doesn't matter, they're going to have blood on their hands. And so he said, hey, it's me. They said, how were your eyes open? Verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay. Isn't that good? I mean, he knew who it was. A man called Jesus. Listen, you got some interest when somebody changes your life. And his life was changed. And so he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. I mean, that is the nuts and bolts of the truth. It's all you need. And so everybody was happy, went home and praised God. Is that what happened? Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. You know why they brought him to the Pharisees? Because, listen, they had the right pedigree. Do you know that they were descendants of Aaron? Do you know that of the Levitical priesthood? Do you know that they descended from Abraham? Do you know that they were of the lineage that was freed from Egypt when God set this whole idea of worship up? So they would, listen, they went to the ones that taught and studied and read the Word of God. But the problem was, listen, they may have known how to teach the Word of God, but they didn't know the God of the Word. See, it's so important that we don't get caught up in what we think we know and miss the Lord. We need to get caught up in the Lord, and then everything else takes care of itself. And so, they bring him to the Pharisees. And verse 14, it says, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Do you think the Lord knew it was the Sabbath day? Do you think the Lord on purpose did it on the Sabbath day? Do you know why? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and washed, and I do see. Remember, now this is the second time he's told the story. And the other people told the story already, but they wanted to hear it from his mouth, so he obliged them. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God." These people who taught the word of God like that came to the conclusion, "This man is not of God." Would you want to be in their shoes? They had all kinds of teachings, and they taught, and they had all kinds of credentials, and they could have told you, listen, and people would have said, "Oh yeah, boy, can they teach the word of God?" And they didn't know God. And so they said, "This man," verse 16, "is not of God." Why? "Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, this is a good question, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" Listen, and there was a division among them. Do you know who likes to bring division? That's it, Satan does. That's the devil's work. Wants to bring division, not unification. God is the spirit of unity. God is the spirit of peace and love. But listen, do you think these Pharisees had love in their hearts? They didn't have, they had judgment. You know what the great commandment was? To love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And you remember what the Lord said about the second one? It's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. God's not changed. If there's no love, there's no relationship with the Lord. We can have head knowledge, we can rationalize things and miss God completely. And miss what God is wanting to do. And so, there's a division among them. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him?" This is the second time from them. What do you say of him? Now remember what they said. You remember what they said? "This man is not of God." That's our seal. Not of God. And you know why? Because the people were afraid. Because if the rabbi or the Pharisee said something and you went contrary to what he said in ignorance, you're in trouble with him. You're not. But by the way, listen, I'd rather be in trouble with man than with God. I'd rather obey the Lord than what man is saying. I want to walk with the Lord in spite of what people say. And if the Lord says something and they're saying something different, who shall we follow? Do we want to listen to them? They obviously are not. It's not going to bode well for them. If they are walking contrary to the word of God, they will give full account before God Almighty. And I promise you, it's going to be a fearful thing. And so, verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" Notice what the guy says. He said, "He's a prophet." He's a prophet. Now listen, that took some gumption, tenacity. Because he already knows they don't like him. He already heard with his own ears, and for the first time saw it with his own eyes. They said, "He's not of God." But with his loyalty, listen, he's got something he's not selling. God has given to him something that he will not give back. He said, "He's a prophet." Amen. In the face of the Pharisees and when God gets a hold of us, we don't want to let go of him. In spite of the opposition, I'm going to stand faithful before my God. And so, he said, "He's a prophet." He's a prophet. Verse 19. But the Jews did not believe. See, they're having a hard time, aren't they? But the Jews that did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. Do you follow that rationale? "We don't believe you. We're going to check up with your parents if you were really born blind." Now the neighbors already said, "This is," he said, "I'm him." And so they asked him, saying, "Is this your son," verse 19, "who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" See, they're rattling cages now. "Is this your son?" Listen, these are the Pharisees that are saying, this man's not of God. And now he's coming up to the parents. And unfortunately, he does get to them. And so verse 21, he says, "His parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son,'" verse 20, "and that he was born blind." Notice this, "but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." Amen. But the Bible tells us why they said that. And it wasn't because they feared the Lord. Verse 22, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews." They went along to be in compliant with those who did not know the Lord. They knew the Word of God. They could teach the Word of God, but they didn't know God. And they joined. Listen, what is the spirit of Abel and what is the spirit of Cain? Do you see the difference? What is the spirit? Listen, God came to both of them and told them what was needed to be done. And Cain had murder in his heart. And the Lord even came to him and said, "If you do well, won't you be accepted?" Talk to Abel, and the spirit of murder came out. Was there love in these Pharisees' hearts? It is the spirit of murder. Didn't they finally kill the Lord? And they would... "Oh, you got a devil. You're a crazy person. Who's out to kill you?" They all were. That were responsible for killing the Lord. Now, some had trusted the Lord, but them as a group, that's who crucified the Lord. And so they were afraid. And notice what they said here. Look at verse 22. "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ or the Messiah, the Savior, he would be put out of the synagogue." They already made up their minds. Were they looking for the truth? They were looking for themselves. This is what we think. This is how we're... And by the way, do you think they thought they were right? Yes, they did. The Bible says every man, when they were doing wrong, did that which was right in his own eyes. In their own eyes. Listen, may I tell you something? Somehow, people have to live with themselves. Murderers and thieves have to justify what they're doing somehow. It's not right, but they've got to justify it in their heads. This is okay. Verse 23, "Therefore said his parents, 'He is of age, ask him.'" Verse 24, notice the man that was blind now. So this is the dispute, right? We find the neighbors and the others. We find the Pharisees. We find the parents. Now they go back to the blind man again. Verse 24, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, 'Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner.'" Gee, do you think that's kind of a set up question? You know what they were wanting? Compliance from this man to turn against the Lord. Did you get that? Did you see that? Listen, they wanted everybody on their side. Listen, they didn't want everybody on God's side. See, we cannot walk in the natural realm and get stirred up by our emotions and think we're doing God's service. And that's where they were at. And here's the sad part. People were following that. And they were rejecting the Lord. And so he says, "We know that this man's a sinner." Verse 25, "He answered and said, 'Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.'" Amazing grace. Amen? And this is what I do know. You can say what you want. I'll just tell you what I know. Verse 26, "Then said they to him again, 'What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes?'" I mean, my goodness, how many times are you going to ask the same question? See, they're trying to get him to change his answer. "He answered them, 'I have told you already,'" verse 27, "'and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?'" I mean, why do you want... You've already heard me say it. I'm going to say it again to you. You know, you want me to say it again? Why? You want to follow him? I think he knew that was the last thing they had in mind to do. They were not going to follow him, but he says, man, you keep asking me. It sounds like you want to learn about him. Verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. You know, Moses will stand against them. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Isn't that amazing? They didn't know the Lord. They taught the word, but they didn't know the God of the word. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. Look at the wisdom God's giving him. That ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. He heareth. That's a pretty powerful statement. You know what he's saying? He's from God. I'm convinced from the time, remember he said he was a prophet? From the time God opened up his eyes, he knew he was from the Lord. From the time God changed his life, he knew who he was. He didn't know him as the Lord, but he knew he came from God. And he knew that whatever come what may, he was on his side. He was going to walk with him. And by the way, look at the boldness God gives. You think he was afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue? Are you going to be his disciples too? He was not afraid one bit. That did not come from him. That came from God working in him. And that's how God wants to work in us. To give us the boldness to stand in the truth and to deny ourselves. You know, I need help with denying myself. How about you? Myself will get in the way of God. I am fearful of myself. Lord, I want to do things and walk your way, not mine. Amen. And so what happens here? He says, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. But if any be a worshiper, verse 31, of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could... Where did he get that from? Remember what the Lord said, without me you can do what? Nothing. Listen, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Where's that coming from? Coming from the Lord. And notice their conclusion. Look, they're upset. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Well, that's a true statement to a certain part, but that's not what caused his blindness. Remember, it was God, to the glory of God. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. He's out. But what was more important to him was the man of God. Amen? The prophet of God. A relationship with the truth. He was not willing to sell that. And so what happens? Now we come to what the Lord does in his life. And notice, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, was Jesus looking for him? Did you hear that? When Jesus had heard they had cast him out. By the way, the disciples are just taking this all in. The Lord goes looking for him. And the Bible says here that when the Lord found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? See, that's the most important truth anybody will ever get. Amen. It was a good thing for his eyes to be healed to the glory of the Lord, but the best was still needed. And that was a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, God was already working. Was not God already giving him conviction of who the Lord was? Was he not already revealing truth and saying that what these Pharisees were doing was not of God? God was already working. And so he says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Verse 35, verse 36, he answered and said, who is he? Listen, Lord, that I might believe on him. Did this man want to believe on the Lord? He didn't know who he was. See, listen, it takes the Lord to reveal himself to us. We don't just make a decision for Christ today. Baloney. God has to open up our understanding. He calls us. Amen. I'm afraid all, you know, raise your hand if you made a decision for Christ. Make a decision. If we're not careful, where is repentance? Where is conviction? Where is the Lord drawing us? We said a prayer somewhere. Is that what the Bible says? If we're not careful, we miss the Lord. The Lord sought him out. And the Lord seeks us out also. Does he not? And he confronts, you know, redemption is not a sales pitch. It's salvation. We're not trying to talk people. You can't talk anybody into eternal life. You can talk people into doing a prayer. Will they be saved if they just say a prayer and there's no conviction of the Holy Spirit? That has happened many times. People can just say a prayer and they're not even convinced or convicted of who Jesus is. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Listen, verse 37, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talketh with thee." Was that clear? Did the Lord make that clear to him? And he said, "Lord, I believe." Listen to this. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind." Now watch this. "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto them, Are we blind also?" Have these people heard the truth, the Pharisees? But they're blind. I think they were a little offended. Listen, people are offended at the truth if they're not part of it. But if you're saved, you know God's got to open up your eyes. You can't be, you know, in my heart, I believe them in my heart. There's got to be conviction of God. Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore," he says, "your sin," God said that, "your sin remaineth." You're willing to say, I know what I'm, and yet listen, they're walking contrary. They're against the Lord. Isn't that something? "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That's an invitation by the Lord. By the way, that he wants to give to everybody. But God says there is a way that leads to life, and there is a way that leads to destruction. And can you believe these people who knew the Word of God chose the wrong path? How can that be? How can that be? Because they did not humble themselves before the Lord and say, "Lord, I need you." God, where's the work of the Lord? When God is at work, let me ask you a question. Do you think the man who received his sight and salvation, do you think that was the last time he had anything to do with the Lord, or do you think that was the first day of a brand new life? And he wanted that. He wanted that. God wants to do works in our lives that we would want more of the Lord. You know, listen, remember, he received one blessing, he got sight. Now he wants to give him salvation. Do you think God wants to give him more understanding? When people get saved, do you think God wants us to grow in his grace, in his love, his mercy, his unity, his joy, his peace, his promises? That's where God wants us. And it's a continual progression until we see the Lord face to face. By the way, of great joy, if we'll have it. So this morning, God says, "Do you believe on the Son of God? And if you have trusted him, wonderful. But do you believe on him for all the other blessings and promises that he desires to give us?" God gives us an invitation. And as always, the choice is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for your word and the understanding and the wisdom that it reveals to us. Lord, may we be submissive to you and your will. Lord, may we look to the truths of your word and not to our feelings and what we think, but may we, Lord, by your Spirit, discern and walk in the truth and call upon you to guide us to walk in the promises you've given to us. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.